Our thoughts and prayers are with all the families in Turkey and Syria that have lost loved ones. Over 7,000 is the count as I record on this Tuesday evening. And so many injured. So many have lost their homes. This brings to mind just how abruptly life can come to an end. And how many of these that have died were prepared for eternity. Well, again, we want to keep so many in our prayers, and those that are helping as well. This has brought together a number of nations, which was at least a positive thing there. Well, last Lord's Day, we were studying together from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29, as we were looking at the parable that Jesus gave at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. And this was, of course, about the two builders. One was wise and one was foolish. We noted that Jesus was the master teacher, and he proclaimed the truth from the side of the mount. We emphasize that we are to submit to his authority. And we ask ourselves, what kind of builder am I? Am I wise or foolish? And of course, we need to count the cost of being a Christian, but also count the cost of not being a Christian as well. I didn't finish this sermon. I want to continue that this morning. And so we'll get back to our study of what kind of builder am I in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. And that's the most important thing we could be doing, preparing for eternity, because we don't know when our life could end suddenly as well as those that lost their life in the earthquake. The point is to be ready when that last breath comes. Well, we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, sir, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. As we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in a proper attitude. That would be in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, and that would be in truth, as Jesus said in John 4:24. Now, something else to mention, if you're wanting to study together, we would be glad to set up a time at your convenience for a Bible study. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, please send those to us. You can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, which has our sermons for several years there, and our bulletin and other information. That website address is www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. So let's get back to our study, and this would be from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. And let's read this again as we were looking at this last Lord's Day. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. and the rains descended, and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Well, that's certainly the case, isn't it? Jesus has all authority, as God the Father gave it to him, Matthew 28:18. Now, I want us to note this, and it would be an injustice if we didn't include this in our study. The church built by Christ was built upon the rock foundation of the truth. When Jesus asked his disciples, "By whom say ye that I am?" Peter then answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:15-16. Well, Peter's answer was rock solid. Yes, because it was the truth. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona," that would be the son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock," that confession of truth that Peter made, Jesus goes on to say, "I will build my church. And the gates of Hades," hell in the King James, but in the Greek it's Hades, "shall not prevail against it." In other words, death is not going to stop the establishment of the church of Christ, Matthew 16:17-18. So, we need to appreciate the true church of the Bible is built upon the truth. Now, being a wise life builder, as a faithful member of the church of Christ, we're making up God's spiritual building. Notice, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Not houses, singular house. A holy priesthood. All Christians are priests, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 2:5. So what kind of materials are we putting into the building of our life and character? Let's examine ourselves, all of us. Number one, do we have a real peace? Are we truly happy? By applying the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:3-12, we certainly can be and should be. If we're following Christ, we would be. Number two, are we adding the Christian graces? 2 Peter 1:5-10. Yes, we add to our faith. And then number three, are we producing the fruits of the Spirit to God's glory? Galatians 5:22-25. We all need to work on this. Number four, are we utilizing wisdom from above? James 3:18. So, this morning I would like for us to ask another question in our study, and that would be this: are we prepared for the storms of life? Yes, living in Palestine, those Jews present for the Lord's masterpiece of a sermon, they were well aware of the conditions about which Jesus spoke as he gave the parable of the two builders. The hills of Palestine were subject to heavy rainstorms at certain seasons of the year, and so they would have floods. Water rushing down the ravines would soon undermine the foundation if a house was not built upon a solid foundation, as we're talking about here, the rock. Now, land which was near the stream may have appeared as the best place for building one's house at first, but the landscape could quickly change. Gullies could even be dry for several years, but after a sudden downpour, it could become, you know, a destructive force with violent streams raining down upon one's house. so the house built on the sand would not survive the rain, the flooding, the wind. And notice this. What is this foolish builder thinking about when he builds on the sand? The here and the now. He's not thinking about the future. Here's the spiritual application for every one of us. We must prepare for the storms of life by building our lives on the teachings of Christ and then remain grounded in the truth, putting down roots. You know, some are of the opinion that Christianity means living in a protected bubble, and they think nothing bad will happen to them. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. How many faithful Christians do we know who have passed from this life to the next because of cancer or other life-threatening illnesses? And probably most of us know faithful Christians who have been killed in car accidents. I know of some in train accidents as well. And some I know have been slain by even a family member. How many of us, such as myself, have lost a child? Lost a mother, father? Well, what about brother or sister, husband or wife, unexpectedly? How many of us present today have a severe illness that we're dealing with? The point is made. Christians do not live in a protective bubble. Therefore, we must prepare for the storms of life. Now, are we digging deep as we prepare for trials, tribulations, and temptations, which we're going to have to face in this life? We need to be like Luke chapter 6, verse 48, the account here by Luke, the inspired physician. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. You notice, dig deep there, as Luke added that. Well, suppose Christians here in America were having to leave their homes due to severe persecution. What would be our response? Would we go on preaching the word even though we were scattered abroad, as they were in Acts chapter 8, you know, verses 3 and 4? As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. What would we do in that situation? Of course, Saul would later be known as Paul, the inspired apostle. Well, again, as we face the most difficult storms in our lives, let us remember what Jesus said in the midst of a great storm. Peace, be still. Well, that calmed everything, did it not? Even when facing death, we can still have real peace by trusting our Lord and Savior. In fact, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Master Teacher, instructs us not to be anxious. As you go back to Matthew chapter 6 and the Sermon on the Mount, study verses 25 through 34. We're not to be concerned, as so many are, of things that are going to be taken care of, or certainly not we can be concerned about things, but better to say we're not to worry. It's one thing to have concerns, it's another thing to be anxious and let yourself be eaten up, which we don't want to do. So the storms of this life will come. But we can have true happiness and inner peace by really trusting and obeying God. Well, what does it mean to really trust and obey God? Well, on the trust side of it, we realize God knows everything. He's our Creator. And so, as we submit to His will, we must obey Him. We understand it's for our own good. Yes, we may have pleasures of life that we give up in order to become a Christian, but it's for our own good. We're trusting God that, yes, I'm going to turn over my life to Thy will. I'm going to follow the teachings of Christ. I'm going to live in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That's trusting God, not in ourselves, you see. The obedience is simply applying the truth and submitting to it. Yes, we must obey, or we're going to still be in our sins. Now, building our lives on Christ, the solid rock, means that we are obeying His doctrine, His teaching. And after washing the dirty feet of His disciples, what did Jesus say? "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." John 13, verses 15 and 17. So the point is, Jesus got down on His knees and took the bowl and the towel and went around and washed the dirty feet of the disciples, because there was no one else there to do it, as there should have been. And when you eat, you don't want someone's dirty feet. You know, they would recline, and they wore sandals, did they not, walking on dusty roads. This needed to be done. There was a purpose here. It wasn't a ceremonial thing. No, it was really doing something that needed to be done. And Jesus humbled Himself and did it. Now, if our Master does that, what about us? Should we not humble ourselves and follow after our Master's teaching and be happy? Well, I certainly want to be happy, don't you? Happy are ye if you do them. Now, those who do not trust and obey God shall never find true happiness and real peace. They're going to die in their sins, which means everlasting punishment. So as faithful members in the Lord's church, let us continue looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. So again, are we prepared for the storms of this life? Or have we already been shaken and have not been standing in the gospel of Christ as we should? Well, there's still time to get our lives back in order by trusting and obeying God rather than turning away from God. Where's that going to lead us? We all should know the answer. If we turn away from God, we're going to go to an eternal dwelling place that is known as hell. Eternal damnation. And who's going to be there? Satan and all the angels that followed him and all the wicked throughout the ages. There won't be any little babies, little children there. No, sir. Those that turned away from God, this is their final destiny. If they do not turn back and repent and become a faithful child of God. Yes, we're going to be proven and tested by the storms of life, and unless we are building on the foundation of Christ and His teaching, we shall not be prepared as we stand before Christ on the day of judgment. What will we hear? "Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity, for I never knew you." Or, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy reward." I want to hear the latter, don't you? Well, of course. And something we want to look at is plants need to have roots, or what's going to happen? They're going to wither away. And members of the Lord's church without spiritual roots can die spiritually, just as those that were in the parable of the four soils, representing four different types of hearts, Luke chapter 8. Verse 13, you see that in the rocky soil they received the word with joy, but then they had no root. And for a while believed, and in time of temptation they fall away. They're not grounded, you see. And so, just as plants without roots will wither away, members of the Lord's church without spiritual roots can die spiritually. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So having strong spiritual roots, that's going to what? That's going to help us to keep steadfast in the faith, even during the most severe storms, which, as we're seeing here, that we're going to encounter those in our life. You remember the Apostle Paul, what all he encountered living the faithful Christian life, but he was content whatever circumstance he found himself in. He had true peace of mind. He had contentment. He had happiness, even though he was in prison. And remember, while in prison, Paul wrote to the Church of Christ in Philippi, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He didn't fear death. No, and we know he was martyred according to historical accounts, beheaded in Rome after his first imprisonment. He was released, but the second, as you see in 2 Timothy, Paul knew that death was coming. He certainly did, and he was prepared for it. He had kept the faith. He had fought the good fight of faith. And he had finished his course. And he knew that there was a crown of righteousness awaiting him. What about us? Yes, there will be very difficult storms, temptations, trials, and tribulations, which faithful Christians must face in this life. Yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yes, persecution can be severe. But if we're grounded and we are living a life that's based upon the teachings of Christ, following His example, we're prepared for the most difficult persecutions that could come. And we could be like, as Paul was, ready to die, even if it meant dying for the cause of Christ. Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." We need to really believe that. Now, with God's providential care and our trusting and obeying God, we can stand fast on the solid rock of Christ and His Word. We sometimes sing the wonderful hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less." Well, let's not only be able to sing the chorus, but be able to say with assurance, "On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." If we're not standing on the teachings of Christ, we're on sinking sand. That's right. So then, how do we answer this question? When the storms of life come, how shall I find real peace and true happiness without standing on Christ, the solid rock? I know the answer, and so do you. I won't find real peace. I won't find true happiness without standing on Christ the solid rock. And we all should know that. Well, as we've studied together from the Sermon on the Mount, the parable of the two builders, again, we ask ourselves, which kind of builder am I? Am I wise or am I foolish? The answer that I give myself, of course, needs to be honest. If I'm not going to be honest with myself, how am I going to be honest with God? If I'm not building on the teachings of Christ, if I'm building on the teachings of man, I need to stop and realize that I'm really building on a sand foundation. I'm believing the lies of Satan. If I'm not following the teachings of Christ, I'm being deceived. And it's not too late now to change and submit to the will of God. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. We'll study further. We'll go by the book, chapter, and verse of what I need to do in becoming a child of God. The first thing, obviously, is to hear the truth. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith can come no other way. Now, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. If I study God's word and learn the truth, I'm learning about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for my sins and the sins of the world. In John 8:24, except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Once I believe that Jesus is the Christ, my Savior, I'm ready to do the next step, which is difficult. Repentance. Changing my will to do the will of God. I'm no longer going to think I know the right way. I'm going to do it my way. No, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to allow God to direct my steps because I don't know the way, like Jeremiah 10:23. Once we get out of a life of sin and start going in that new direction and following the teachings of Christ, now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Now, we're not saved the moment we confess. It's unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10 point that out. Once I state that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God before others, I'm ready to be baptized into Christ. I'm going to put on Christ. Notice with me in Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's how we put on Christ. That's how we contact His precious blood in the watery grave of baptism. As we come up out of the water to walk in newness of life, the Lord adds us to His body, the true church, not a man-made church. Here's where we need to remain faithful, even if it means our very death. We'll have the victory. We thank you so much for listening today.